Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today.
Welcome back to Weekend Breakfast, Alison Curtis with you. And as promised, we've talked about this for a couple of weeks now. Roddy Doyle is our Sunday sit down. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us in studio. We were saying you have been on the show before, but neither of us can remember why. So maybe that's not a good reflection for either of us.
Or when.
Or actually, when.
Yeah, we fail all the
on all categories.
Yeah.
What you're currently doing is you've brought Paula back to life in a book, The Woman Behind the Door. You had a great night in the IFI a couple of weeks ago. Some of the cast were there, you were saying, as well.
Yes. Ger Ryan, who played Paula Spencer in the original series, Family, was there. And yeah. Nellie Conroy, who played the teenage daughter, Nicola, was there, and Barry Ward, who played the teenage son John Paul,
right,
was there, and they're both in their, you know, well into their 40s now. Luckily, I'd seen them a few times. I've seen Ellie quite a lot, but I'd seen Barry a few times, so he didn't go straight from being a 13-year-old to being a 43-year-old with a child. But it was great. It was really, I hadn't seen it in the 30 years. I hadn't seen it since it was broadcast by RTE 30 years ago. So,
oh, wow.
I didn't know exactly what I'd be watching, you know?
Yeah.
It was great.
And with a character like Paula, like, we first met her in 1994, so with, you know, you're so prolific, you've got so many works, you know, for younger, for older audiences. What is it about a character that kind of brings you back to going, I'm going to revisit this person?
Well, one honest answer is I don't know, and that's actually true, and I could get up and say, see you now and go home. But I think, I'm not altogether sure, but when I started thinking about her as a character in a television show, that was 1992, I think, so it's a long time ago, and my curiosity about her was limited to a few months then, because the series...
Yeah.
It's just limited to a few months. And as I was writing the final episode, which is the least dramatic of the episodes, it's just about her coping, I began to wonder about her.
Mm-hmm.
What was she like when she was younger? What was it? What was the education system like? Was it good to her or not? What was it about her husband that made her fall in love?
Mm-hmm.
What was it about her that made him fall in love? And what happened? So I began to write the novel that became The Woman Who Walked Into Doors, and it was very, very hard. You know,
yes.
The first year in particular, hopelessly vague. I didn't mind it too much. You know, this was my fifth novel, not my first. So I kind of by then knew not to trust too deeply when I felt it was going nowhere.
Right.
Just keep at it, because sometimes leave it a week, go back, read it, and it's actually not too bad at all.
Yeah.
It's just your mood. So getting to know her was very, very difficult. Finding points of affinity, roughly the same age, gave her the same geography of my upbringing,
mm-hmm.
Same dance hall she went to where she meets her husband, things like that. Music was an important thing. And then I suppose having fought with myself to create the character, she wouldn't go away. Most of the characters I've written about, once I'm finished with them, that's it, they're done. I never delude myself that they're real. I don't often delude myself that Paula is real, but I do often think about the character.
Yeah.
So about 10 years after I'd written the first book, Ireland had changed significantly. We were in the years that became known as the Celtic Tiger years, and I wondered, you know, I was keen to write a novel that would capture it in some way, and I just thought, well, Paula's the person to guide us through it. I didn't want to write something satirical or biting or something snooty about people with money, because I didn't really feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a lot of people who hadn't a penny in their lives, you know, was always anxious about putting their hands in their pockets. And they had a decade where they didn't have to be so anxious, and I don't see that as a bad thing. So mm-hmm. I just thought, well, Paula might see it the same way. So I wrote a book that became Paula Spencer. No intention of writing another one.
Yeah.
But then, I suppose, there was a little spark when I got the summons, but I got the notice to go to the Helix vaccination centre to get my first vaccination up in the DCU campus. And it was only when I got there and I was in the queue, very impressed with the way it was operating, that I realised that the actual booths where everybody was going to get their injection were up on the stage. And I thought that was amazing, you know, because it would never have occurred to me to use the stage. I would have said, no, actors go up on the stage. You can't be using that.
Yeah.
But I had seen a stage production of The Woman Who Walked Into Doors on that stage. Mm-hmm. So it was odd. And I began to think of Paula.
Again.
Yeah. Beginning to think on the drive home, I was feeling a bit elated, being, you know, thinking this is the beginning of the end. That was brilliant, the way it was run. The comedy, actually, of being in a long queue of people my own age and shape and greyness and baldness and crookedness and, you know.
All sorts of glory.
All sorts of, yeah, dignity. So I just thought, yeah, there might be a book in this. So, you know, and I'd been loath to start a novel at the time because, you know, I had started one just before March 2020 when Leo Varadkar made that, you know, now famous speech. And I'd abandoned that novel because the present day didn't exist anymore. It had changed completely and utterly, and things were shifting.
Yeah.
So much in that year, a year and a half, 2 years afterwards.
Exactly.
That I wasn't confident about starting a novel. But then a few months after, I began to take notes, give it a bit of thought. Who, you know, any of the children living in the house? No. How are they doing? I began to think of each of them. How many grandkids? Are they important? You know. Is she still with that man she met at the end of the last book? It's now 20 years. Are they still together? Is he in the house? Has she moved? All sorts of little questions that actually gather up into the big picture. And then I began the novel.
That's the thing too, though, is like you, this person lives completely differently in your mind as the creator than, you know, as readers. But at the same time, you have to appreciate that readers are like, I would wonder what she's doing now and how she is.
Yeah. Well, clarity is the important thing for me, you know. I was conscious I was writing the third book of a series and I had to make sure that anybody picking up the third book could enjoy it and didn't have to refer back.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be fair, you know, and it wouldn't be very professional. So I like, you know, there are some holes that are deliberately left, you know, unfilled.
Right.
And you have to walk around them and look in, and if you don't see anything there, grand, it's deliberate. We don't know, you know, we don't know ourselves 100%, let alone anybody else.
You know? It's true.
And we never will. And no amount of searching or therapy or hypnotherapy or anything will give us 100% of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the, I think that's one of the things that probably gets us up in the morning. Because, you know, there's a lot of I don't know about how we'll respond, how we'll see something, how we'll react to something.
Weekend Breakfast
with Alison Curtis.
Playing the music you love when you wake up.
Something that is completely shifting gear, though, and what we're in our household, kind of coming out of it now because she's getting a bit older, was the Rover stories.
Uh-huh.
And I can't believe the Giggler treatment is 24 years old. I'm telling you, like, you know, it was 2000, wasn't it?
I don't know exactly when it came out. I know that my children were 7, 5 and a baby when I started that. So two boys and a girl.
Yeah.
You know, the same shape as the family in that story. So, and that 7-year-old is 33.
That's incredible.
So that goes back, what, 26 years in that case, yeah.
We loved it. And, like, obviously she came around after it was published and we went to it afterwards. But, like, we loved it. And it's just that it's a sense of humor and it's a style that, like, it's something written, because sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes kids' books, the parents are like, this isn't so great, we're not going to read this because it's for my kids. Whereas this is something everyone can enjoy together.
Yeah, I wrote it for my own kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to tell them stories at night and I didn't, you know, I didn't think they were very good. But I really, you know, you cop on to what entertains them and what, if you're being entertaining, they're sitting beside you listening or lying beside you. If you're not, they're hitting each other.
Yeah.
So they were my editors, so to speak. And I gathered it up at the end of every working day. I'd write a few more pages and start at the beginning and go through it. And, they loved it, you know. And I had been going into town. I lived in Colester at the time, and the nearest DART station was Colester Station, and it was a rainy, horrible day. And I had the baby in the buggy. the five-year-old on the back of the buggy, so, you know, on the bar at the back of the buggy, standing up, and then the seven-year-old holding the side of the buggy. We were going down a narrow footpath, really wet, covered in dog poo.
Yeah.
So I was having to slalom around the dog poo,
it's
trying to make
awful.
Sure. And then he said there were four feet on the ground, four wheels, you know.
Oh, it's awful.
Trying to make sure, yeah. I could hear the Dart in Harmanstown Station tooting, you know, and we'll never make it. We did. That's the happy ending. But at one point, just very near the station, I just had this thought, what if somebody put all that there to annoy me?
Yeah. They're doing it to me now in my area as well.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where the idea came from.
I know, it's brilliant.
That night I started the story. And you realise, you know, when you're just in the company of these kids, they're very sophisticated in ways.
Completely.
They got the parodies of the ads and the messing. They really did. Mm. There's loads of attempts have been made to make a film or a television series of that. And, you know, going back, Aardvark, you know, the people who make Wallace and Gromit, they were going to try and do a Christmas special.
That would have been brilliant.
People commissioning work on BBC didn't like it because of the dog poo on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
They're worried about people's dinners.
After the Queen's speech.
That would have been perfect, though.
So it never happened.
But I can envision it. As soon as you said it, I could envision it.
Yeah.
Where do you think, before I let you go, because I've kept you quite a long time, the Barrytown, like the trilogy, well, it's more than that, but obviously they've sustained so many generations. People love them and know them. What, like, what would they be doing in 2024?
I've no idea.
You haven't thought of it? Okay.
No, I haven't thought of it. I wrote a book called The Guts.
Yeah, The Guts.
Where Jimmy is a middle-aged man, really, with children. When The Guts ends, I close the door. I haven't given them a second's thought.
Really?
It sounds callous, but it's not. They are fictional characters. They don't exist. So I haven't thought about them at all. It sounds awful. I feel like I better go home and let them out.
You better. What if this is the starting point, Roddy?
Hmm?
What if this is the starting point and you can dedicate...
It's not.
Oh, okay. You could dedicate the book to me. She made me realise I should actually go back to this family.
No, I'm not going back.
Okay, The Woman Behind the Door is what you've done, and that is now the most current thing, and it's there. And Roddy Doyle, thank you so much for joining us on Weekend Breakfast.
Thank you.
Weekend Breakfast with Alison Curtis. Playing the music you love. Today FM. It all happens here. Today.